there and just do whatever feels good. And isn't that the theme for this generation that we are living in today? Such a godless society with no real direction in their life. That is not the way God created us. He created us in His image. And because we were shaped and fashioned and formed into His image, there is a longing and a yearning and a desire inside of us for direction. We want to be told where to go. We want to know what the next step is today to take. We want to have direction and structure in our life. We sincerely desire that. It is put inside of us by our heavenly Creator. We must have direction. Achievement is always preceded by careful planning and following the steps that are ahead. I work in an industry, in the industrial field out at these chemical plants. And before a job task begins, there is a piece of paper that is laid on our desk, and our foreman, our pusher, or whoever it is, they go through these steps. Okay, and it's called a scope of work, and it's just direction. Step one, we're going to go here, and we're going to do this. Step two, we're going to do this. Step three, and you just follow it, that scope of work, that direction. In order to complete the task, you've got to follow these directions. It is no different in life. It is no different in following God. There are directions and there are steps to following Him. And we've got to learn, we need to realize, in order to accomplish the goals that we want to accomplish, in order to see our family saved, in order to witness to our friend and have them come to church and be saved, we've got to follow and we've got to have direction. It is a must. It is a have to. We can't get around it. There's no other way. We must have direction in our life. Hallelujah. Driving, we took a trip to Kansas just a few weeks ago, and we used that Garmin Nuvi is a type of GPS that we have, and we stuck it up on our windshield. Man, we followed that to a T. Until all of a sudden, we realized that the maps needed to be updated. We bought it like 5 years ago, and so all of a sudden, we were driving off in the middle of nowhere. It looked like we were driving in the middle of the field. No, we were just driving on an open highway. And I had my cell phone down beside me, and of course, it showed every updated map, and so we were following my cell phone. And we finally got to our point of destination. But in anything we do in life, we've got to have direction. And I'm terrible with driving directions. And so I rely on all of these gadgets and gizmos and maps and all of that. But we've got to have direction, ladies and gentlemen. We must. On this road of life, we've got to have direction. In the spiritual realm, it's no different than the natural realm. We just have to rely on other signs. We don't have a physical GPS where we plug in heaven and all of a sudden we're on our way. It doesn't work that way. It's simply by digging in this wonderful Word of God. That is our GPS. Finding direction begins with understanding where you are. It doesn't matter that I want to go to Houston, Texas and go to the Gaither singing. That doesn't matter, does it? If I don't know where I'm starting from, if I don't know my start point, I can be over in Lake Charles, I can be up in Dallas, I can be as far as down as Corpus Christi. It doesn't matter. I've got to know where I'm starting from. I've got to have a start point. I've got to plug it in there, and it's then I plug in the destination. It wants to know the start point, so we've got to know where we're at, ladies and gentlemen. The worst thing that we can do is lie to our own selves. That's the worst thing that we can do, is tell ourselves we're better off than we are. Tell ourselves that we don't need God. We really don't have, that's not really necessary. That's not really instrumental in my life. Well, attending church faithful really isn't all that important. Oh, yes, it is. We've got to know where we are. We've got to understand what our start point is. And then and only then can we plug in that destination point. And that destination point, it will get us from that start point to that destination point. That's the beauty of a map. And so God's word is a map to heaven. We've got to know where we are, and we've got to know where we're going. All along the way, the world wants to distract us and try to pull us away and try to pull us off the path. But we've got to realize I've got my heavenly GPS. I've got my heavenly roadmap. I've got to stay on it. I've got to stick with it. There are directions that I have to follow. Whenever I go to the grocery store, my wife is smart enough to send me with a list. How many of you men go to the grocery store with a list? I know I do. Some of you aren't raising your hands. All right. I go to the grocery store with a list because if I don't, I'm going to get sidetracked. And I'm going to have a bunch of junk in my basket that we don't even need. And whenever I go to the grocery store, I walk up and down the aisles and I'll call the wife and make sure, okay, well, did you want this brand or that brand? And you look down the grocery store aisle and there's and there's two or three other guys doing the same thing on the cell phone. Honey, what was it again that you said you needed? And so if I don't have that list whenever I go to the grocery store, I am lost. And so I need to have that list. If we don't go out into this world with direction in our life and purpose in our hearts, then we're just going to wander around. We've got to have direction. We've got to have direction. We can't just wander around and think that God's going to slap us upside the head and tell us where to go. It doesn't work that way. We've got to have a list. We've got to say, I want to get here, and so I've got to do this in order to get there. That's the way that it works. I watch people all the time go through life without a list. You got to have a list. If we're to live a purpose-filled life, then we've got to find out where we are and then discover the direction that God wants to lead us. Each and every one of us, God has a direction for us. It doesn't matter whether or not you teach Sunday school. If you do, that's wonderful. That's your ministry. Or if you're up here singing on the platform, if you do, that's great. That's your ministry. But for those of you who merely come to church and you sit on the pews here today, God wants to give you direction. It's not just up to the people on the platform or in the Sunday school rooms or taking care. It's not just up to them. We've got to have a list. We've got to have a direction. We've got to have a mission in our lives. We got a family that we want to see saved. We got friends that we want to see full of the Holy Ghost. We want to see them living for God. And in order to do that, we've got to have direction. Amen. Number three. Your ministry is more what you do than what you say. Your ministry is more about what you do than what you say. That word do is to perform, to execute, to carry into effect. It takes little to no faith to make a decision. The faith part comes whenever you act upon the decision that you've made. The scripture bears record and he says, faith without works is what? It's dead. It's not alive. And so in order to awaken that faith, in order to have faith that is alive, there must be a performance, an action that takes place upon the faith. It wasn't enough for the disciple to sit in the boat and say, Lord, is that you? And God says, yes, that's me. And he says, well, if it's you, bid me come. There was the decision. And Jesus said, come. That point, he had made a decision, but there had to be an action taken. Peter had to then choose and then perform that which he has chosen to do. It's not enough for us to decide that we're going to live for God. There must be an action performed. It's not enough for me to get up here and to preach to a group of people if I don't go out of this church and perform what I have said. It's not enough. Then my words become null and they are void. And they just simply come out of my mouth and they fall on the ground. There must be something done. There must be a performance of action. We have to then get out of the boat. We've got to reach for the impossible. We've got to believe God that whenever He says, come on and step out of that boat, we must then put it into action in our life. No matter the consequences that we might conjure up in our mind and say, well, what will this people think? What are they going to think about the decision that I made? And what if... Don't worry about that. If God says come, then get out of the boat and put it into action. We must do what God has commanded us to do. There are no secrets to success. There is no shortcut. We must do. Benjamin Franklin said it best. He said, well done is better than well said. It's not enough for us to say what we should do. We must then perform it. David asked the question, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason? It's easier to do nothing because your reward is nothing. It's so much easier to sit on our couch. It's so much easier to not put forth any effort in life. That is the easy way out. But because we do nothing, then we accomplish nothing. And that is not the people of God. That is not the way that we're raised and we're brought up. That is not what God wants for our life. He wants us to reach out and He wants us to do. He knows that we're going to fall and we're going to fail. He understands that we're going to make mistakes, but bless God, we need to still do. We've got to perform that which we have received. We've got to do it. Oh, let's all clap our hands unto the Lord. Let's magnify Him right now. Let's lift up our voices right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Much like the soldiers cowering behind their tents as Goliath stood in that valley, cursing their God and barking out that challenge. Come on, send a man, send someone to face me. Is there not one brave enough? They chose and they made a decision to do nothing. And along come this little teenage boy, this little ruddy redhead, who was just simply bringing food to his older, bigger, stronger brothers. He was just checking out the scene. And he heard that giant of a man, that champion fighter out in that field that day, cursing his God and disrespecting the people of God. And he asked the question then and there, is there not a cause? If there's not a cause, then let's pack up the tents, guys, and let's head back to the house. And let's go ahead and offer surrender right now because there's no cause. If there's no cause, then let's quit right now. But there is a cause. There is a purpose. There is a reason. There is a design. God did not send us here to merely just wander through life. There is a cause. David found out that there was more security in facing the giant and putting his trust in God. Let me say that again. David found out that there was more security in facing a man three times his height who was a champion fighter who can easily take him out like that. He found more security in that simply because he was stepping out by faith, trusting in his God. Can I challenge someone here today to step out by faith and trust the Lord? If He is giving you direction, if He wants you to do something, He is going to give you the tools, the faith, the stamina, the courage, and the strength to accomplish that which He wants to accomplish in your life. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, somebody, let your faith rise up right now. I'm coming to a close, so if you would, why don't you stand? Let your faith rise up within you right now. Let it speak to you. Let the Lord lead you. God gave you all the tools that you need to accomplish His work and do His will. There are so many people that go to church and they give in the offering. They hear a sermon and they simply go home and do nothing. But there is a cause and there is a purpose beyond this building that we must realize that God is bigger than any one of us. And His cause is greater than any one of us. There is a lost and a dying world out there that is on its way to a sinner's hell. And we have every opportunity and we have every piece of tool that we need to do the work of God. If he wanted to, he could have sent angels down here to disciple this world, but he didn't do it. He chose you and I. We were chosen before the foundation of this world. He chose you to live in this day and this hour in which we live. We wonder what's going on and why is there all of this chaos? Why is there all of this trouble surrounding us? What is happening in our world? It's part of God's purpose and it's part of His design. And He's given us the tools to receive victory. I'm just talking today about some determinants for victory. Hallelujah. You've got to decide. And I understand that I'm speaking to many people here today who have chosen Christ. I'm speaking to people who are battle tested. I'm speaking to people who have proven themselves. But every day is a decision. What will we choose to do with today? What is victory worth to you? Is there not a cause? We've got to make a decision. We can't stand and halt between two opinions. Make a decision and go forward in God. Young people, I promise you, I've been graduated from high school for 15 years now. Somebody say that. That was a quick response. Careful there. I've been graduated from high school for 15 years. And you know, I watched kids in high school and junior high. I watched them try to impress their friends and their buddies and do some of the dumbest things for the sake of popularity. And you know, here it is 15 years removed from high school. And I could probably count on one hand how many people that I still see from high school on any type of a regular basis. I can count on one hand. And we had a class of over 330 kids. I can count on one hand. So rather than choosing to try to impress someone, let's choose to impress the Lord. Let's choose to live for God. I'm a parent now. I've got a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old. And I want to instill in them, and I want God to instill in them a backbone. Because this world wants to pressure us. I mean, I get it, and I'm 33 years old. This world wants to pressure us to make choices that I know I've got no business doing that. Going there. Every day, decisions. We got to have direction. And then we must do. We've got to invest ourselves into this. We invest in the stock market. We invest in 401k. We have IRA accounts and we put investments in there and they mature and they grow. They accumulate and our investments increase. And we have a vested interest. And we check on those accounts. When the stocks are up, we want to see how good we did. When the stocks are down, we want to see how much we lost. But there's an invested interest. Can I say we need to invest some things in the house of God? We need to invest some things in the house of the Lord. The beautiful part about investing in God is when everything else is crumbling down around us, Brother Baggett, His stock is still rising. It's still going up. And the lower it gets on this earth, the higher your vested interest in Him gets. Everybody thought that that was a nuts, crazy, lunatic idea for Noah to build a boat in the middle of a field, in the middle of nothing but land. That was crazy. Noah, what are you doing? I'm just investing. I'm just investing right now. Oh, but then when that water started rising, oh, man, that boat looked good then. It looked real good then. Hallelujah. Why don't we lift our hands and let's entertain the Lord right now. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you, mighty God, for your truth. God, I thank you, Lord. God, today I'm going to choose to live for you. Tomorrow is the past. It's dead. Tomorrow hasn't come yet. Yesterday is the past. It's dead. It's gone. I can't do anything about yesterday. And I can't reach forward and touch tomorrow. It's not here yet. All that I have is today. All that I have is right here and right now. God, help us to take full advantage of the opportunity that we have been given here today. Let us decide. Let us receive direction. And let us do. Hallelujah. I would ask if all of the young people would just step forward right now at this time. All of those who are, let's just go ahead and say 30 years and under. 30 years and under. We're going to call you young people. Because you are. The decisions, young people, that you were making today will affect your tomorrows. The decisions that you were making today are going to affect your tomorrows. And I want us to choose right. I want us to choose God. Hallelujah. Now that all these young people are, I'm going to ask for you elders, you married couples. Go ahead and come on up here, make your way. We're going to pray for these. We're going to join together in prayer right now. Everybody wants a victory. Everybody wants to succeed in life. Oh, we need to pray for our children like never before. Oh, hallelujah. Young people, won't you go ahead and just lift your hands right now. Let's talk to the Lord right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Thank you, Lord, for your word today. Come on, parents. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.